The following may contain offensive language, adult humor, and or content that some viewers may find offensive. The views and opinions expressed by any one speaker does not explicitly or necessarily reflect or represent those of Mark Rattledge or W2M Network. Please listen with caution, or don't listen at all.
There'll be spectacle, there'll be fantasy, there'll be daring do and stuff like you would never see.
Hey, a movie!
Yeah, we're gonna be a movie!
Starring everybody
and me. There'll be heroes bold, there'll be comedy, and a lot of fuss that ends for us real happily.
Hey, a movie!
We can watch it all develop.
Starring everybody
and me. We'll take the world. Set it on its ear.
Come on, join in. We're going to start right here.
And we are going to start right here. Hello, and welcome to a Rattledge and Broadcasting premiere podcast triple feature. Wu-Tang. No, those are two different things. I am your host, the mandated reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattledge. And ladies and gentlemen, my partners for tonight. First, he's a Fushnika. He lost move and he ain't got nothing to prove. Ladies and gentlemen, from the mean streets of West Virginia, it's the protocol son, Jason motherfucking Peasley. How do you do, sir?
Hey, what's up, Mark? Glad to be here talking. I don't know what the fuck we're going to be talking about tonight because only one of these movies makes sense. The other two were just, they're something.
Hang on. There's a half-naked boy trying to talk to me. Hello, half-naked boy. You are the Fushnika. Anyway, he ain't got nothing to prove either. Go on, Jason.
We did see an appearance of Scrappy Doo. We'll talk about that a little later. But yeah, happy to be here and talk some shit about some team-up movies.
Crossover movies. That's what the night's theme is. And ladies and gentlemen,
he's cross-dressing movies.
He's not just a crossover, he's a cross-dresser from the mean streaks of Oklahoma. He's the host of Movies That Don't Suck and Some That Do. Him and his boy Chris, they take the movies that I can't possibly get Robert to review. Ladies and gentlemen, my boy Neil Blackwood, how do you do?
Good. You know, we've had enough tornadoes. We should have done a Sharknado episode today due to the fact that all the tornadoes I just dealt with the last couple of days. I can't wait to talk about the awesome CGI versus practical effects in all three of these movies.
Yeah, let's
talk about what's on the marquee tonight. We are doing crossover movies. First, Freddy versus Jason. And this has been like several months in the making. We did the Anaconda Long Road to Ruin. We did the Lake Placid Long Road to Ruin, which took us like three tries to get that one done. And then we were like, all right, well, now we've done Anaconda, of which my, you know, buns don't want none. And then we did Lake Placid. Now we got to smash the Barbie dolls together. We got to do
the mashup
versus Anaconda. And then finally, hang on. Hi.
I'm finally here.
I don't know if you can see.
Run in.
I don't know if
we totally saw it. That was weird.
Okay. I don't know if I was kissing air or not.
That was weird.
Comes in out of nowhere. And then finally, because we needed a third silly one, which I didn't realize was actually the third part of a trilogy. So I almost like called Jason, like, hey, we got to scrap the third one. This is actually a part of a whole different story. But fuck it. We're going to break all the rules tonight. Sharktopus versus
Call it in the ring. We're calling it in the ring.
All right. So real quick, other than the fact that we decided to be silly and do the Lake Placid and Anaconda thing, and then we just needed two other movies, I think I've talked about Freddy versus Jason briefly in any one of the discussions we've had about Nightmare on Elm Street. So real quick, Jason, I know you're a big horror fan. What was the first Nightmare movie you saw, and like how long have you been a huge fan of the franchise?
The first Nightmare movie I saw was the original.
Okay. You're like real young, right? Your mom like let you see it or some shit?
Yeah, I mean, I actually seen the original Friday 13th in theaters.
Did you?
No, I seen two in theaters. I was born in 78, and I seen, the first, that was one of the first horror movies I seen in theater was Nightmare on Elm Street 2, and my mom vividly just told me that once we got home from the theater, because my name is Jason, and my brother's name is actually Freddy, and I do have a deaf mute cousin named Michael. Yes, it's
awesome.
Oh,
it's
my irony. Gosh.
And it's irony.
It's written in the stars.
I have a cousin named Chucky too. I just want to.
I don't. But I do have a guy that was burned in a fire. We called him Leatherface. But that's, we kept him in the basement. Yeah, he had some tough skin. But I did chase my brother and one of my aunts around with a butcher knife coming home from the theater afterwards, because I thought it was, since my name was Jason, I thought that's what I was supposed to do.
I live in Oklahoma City, not Tulsa. Just want anybody to know that, just in case anybody wants to chase anybody with a knife.
No, it doesn't matter.
I know, I'm just kidding.
It's all the same. It's all the same. I was introduced. I watched the original Nightmare. I seen it in theaters. It was pretty cool. I've been a horror fan for a long, long, long time. Grew up with the classics. Definitely this crossover was one of those, was destined to happen once everybody could play in the same sandbox and everybody got what they wanted. It was really hyped up. So yeah, I was happy when this first came out. So,
all right.
And disappointed when it happened.
Neil, same to you. What was the first Nightmare movie or Friday the 13th movie you saw? How long have you been fans of the franchise?
I have been a huge Freddy fan ever since the age of 7 when I wandered into Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors. The theater people thought, asked me if my mom gave me permission, because my mom was like a biker that owned the bar. And they're like, did she give you permission? And I was like, yeah, well, we're going to go ask her. You can go ask her. And they're like, no. If you said she gave you permission. And it just so happened when this movie came out, I was actually playing Freddy Krueger in a haunted house of Indianapolis, Indiana. So I used to be in the corn maze and come running through the corn, like cutting the corn with the claws to scare people. I'm like, oh, my little children. and stuff like that. I even took the mask and cut out the eyes and the mouth and actually glued it, like spearmint glued gummed it to my face to make it look like my face was actually moving. So I didn't have to put on that. You remember the crappy Freddy makeup they had back
then? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I got a crappy mask and just cut it out and like actually spear glued it all.
But it looked like Pizza the Hut.
Yeah. So I'm a huge fan of not only Freddy, but also Jason. I think I've been to every Friday the 13th since Jason Lives was the first one I saw in the theater.
So I'm historically a big weenie when it comes to horror. But the reality is I'm hardcore. I can take them both on. I saw most of the Nightmare on Elm Street as they came out. I think the very first one I saw was Dream Warriors, Nightmare on Elm Street 3. And then I went back and I watched the first and the second one. That second one is so gay.
Yes.
It's Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge or whatever it's called.
Freddy's BDSM.
Yeah. I know I saw the fourth one, and then I've kind of like been in and out of these. I never saw the remake, though I've heard Sean talk about it ad nauseum. I'm not as familiar with the Friday the 13th franchise. I know of them, and I think I may have watched one or two of these. I'm 90% certain I saw Jason X, because like what the concept was so charming.
Yes!
Jason X is awesome.
Jason X is so charmingly stupid.
Dude, anytime you can kill someone with nitrous oxide or whatever, just smash
their face with nitrous oxide.
Best kill in a movie ever.
Jason in space was a great concept.
And nanites that give you Super Jason.
Exactly.
So this movie had been in the works since 1987. They finally got it done. This came out in 2003. It clocks in just over 98 minutes, which is perfect. It was a hit. It may not have been critically enjoyed, and we'll talk about what we thought of the movie in just a moment, but it had a $30 million budget. I mean, $116 million. It did what it was supposed to.
And one of the best soundtracks ever.
Yeah. I was rocking out to it. I rewatched it this weekend. I saw this when it came out in the movies, and I was wildly entertained. I thought they gave both characters equal play, and I thought they used them the right way. The humans in the middle were exactly what they were supposed to be. My son had the funniest reaction. So I let all three of my kids, my two kids and bonus child, watch the movie over the weekend. And Jonas's reaction was hysterical. He was like, there is no movie if everyone in this movie isn't mildly retarded. And I'm like, good call, yeah. Jonas.
Yeah.
Welcome to the horror franchise, the horror genre.
That's a good observation. And the bad thing about it is they teased this with Jason Goes to, at the end of Jason Goes to Hell, and it took forever after that happened till this movie actually got made.
Sorry, so I'm not going to read through the plot synopsis. Basically, what happens is after Freddy gets defeated in whatever the last Nightmare on Elm Street movie was before it got rebooted, he's too weak to enter people's dreams and kill them. So he needs, and he lives on fear. So he gets Jason out of hell, and he motivates him through illusion to go start killing the kids in whatever town this is, so that they'll be reminded of the crimes of Freddy, and he can have that fear, and he can start entering dreams and killing kids again and go about his merry way. The kids over the course of the movie think it's Freddy, and it ends up being Jason. So it's a lot of the movie is them running from Jason and getting killed by Jason. Eventually, they figure out what's what in the butt. And the plot, and there's, like every good wrestling feud, there's three matches. And the first one, Jason loses, and it's because it takes place in the dream world. And it's actually a really great sequence. We'll talk about it. Where basically, Freddy starts to see through Jason's psyche and realize that he's a traumatized child who's afraid of drowning. It's probably the best.
Afraid of water.
Yeah. But the kids figure out that if Freddy is brought, who is an ethereal creature, is brought into the real world, then Jason, who has ultimate warrior strength, will beat the living shit out of this scrawny ass fire, burn victim. And so they do. They our final girl, our lead character, Lori, goes to sleep, grabs a hold of Freddy, wakes up while she's holding him. Voila, lobster. And then we have our last man standing match.
I like that.
And now Jason beats the living shit out of Freddy, but then Freddy comes back, and ultimately the kids blow them both to hell. And our final vision is, Jason kills Freddy with his own claws, and he comes out of the water to Freddy's head, and Freddy winks at the camera. Lobster. Real quick, let me say, I enjoyed this movie. It is not going to win any awards. But it is a fun time at the cinema with two classic horror creatures. It would be too easy. It would be low-hanging fruit to rip this movie apart. So I'll simply say that, I think they gave the creatures the respect they were due, and the humans were sufficiently stupid enough to get this thing going. What did you think, Jason?
Yeah, it was good for what it was, and the studios, if they could have got along, this movie could have been a lot better. But the studios couldn't agree on anything, because once New Line didn't want them looking bad. You know, nobody wanted. It was the Hulk Hogan theory. Yeah. It doesn't work for me, brother. Nobody could agree on anything, and the original ending was supposed to be both of them end up in hell with Hellraiser. Ash was from Ash and Evil Dead was supposed to be involved. Bruce Campbell was supposed to show up. The ending was supposed to be really convoluted to set up another sequel, but nobody could agree on anything. Nobody could decide who gets put over. So you had a kind of Dusty Phoenix, you could say, in wrestling.
Are there wrestling fans on this podcast? I don't think so.
There might be a few. Anyway. And we lost what two people we had watching just now. But yeah, I mean this movie had a lot of potential, but the studios ruined it. They set it up to where nobody could get, you could have a definite winner. You have Jason, who is the ultimate, you know, juggernaut killer, and you have Freddy, which is like the cerebral dream killer.
I was gonna say you have Freddy, who's the cerebral assassin, and Jason, yeah. Jason, basically, you had the force.
Yeah, you had Batista versus Triple H.
I'm just picturing fucking Jason coming up. I'm alone.
More like Jason versus X-Pac.
Because I could totally see Freddy doing a Bronco Buster.
That would be funny.
You like that?
Okay, now somebody's going to hear this, and we put it out there in the ethos, and now somebody's going to go do a mod, and we're going to see that on the internet somewhere. Yes.
All right, let me cut in so that Neil can give his thoughts. What did you think of the movie, Neil?
The movie itself was really great. Actually, I remember taking a group of friends. We had a great time in it. We were stoned, so that great scene with the wonderful worm where he pulls out the bong and and the dude looked like Jason Mewes, so that really helped a lot.
I had to take a minute and go, wait, is that Jay?
Dude, I know, right? But the whole movie itself, I mean, what other way are you going to do Freddy versus Jason? I mean... Right. And the other thing that sold it is when you have a kick-ass soundtrack that has everybody from El Nino to Typo Negative to Mushroom Head to Slipknot, you know, back when that was like the king of music, when new metal was new metal, you know. It was
Rockville!
Sorry. And one of my favorite thing, one of my favorite whole things is just like the fact that they kind of use science instead of more of they use the mythology of each thing. But then they, like, you know, they had the special drug that was the hypotheria or whatever.
Yeah.
Hypnotic.
You know, the
hypnotic.
That they took from Dream Warriors 3. Wasn't it the same thing that Nancy was on in that, where she kept popping it so nobody could dream? And so I like all the member berries in the movie and stuff like that, but like literally the whole nobody won, like they're both alive, like the movie just ended. It's just like, yeah, we're done. They're not dead. Yeah. Nobody's dead.
They run out of time in an Iron Man match.
No conclusion happened. we're out of time.
It's Kenny Omega and Brian Danielson all over again at Yankee Stadium.
Oh my gosh! Or Daniel Bryanson versus Hanging Adam Page at Winter's Coming Too.
That's right.
I was there.
Running out of time. How many more wrestling references can we get in this podcast?
I can go right. 5.
Or it was the Monkees versus the Brainbusters, Starrcade 84. I don't know.
Ooh, the Monkees. I remember the Monkees.
Okay, well, I think it was like the Brain. The Killer Bees versus fucking Strike Force.
U.S. Express.
Oh my god! All right. So, I don't want to get too, you know, like I said, I don't want to get too long into this. A couple of things I wanted to talk about, and then we can move on to like Placid versus Anaconda.
Do we have to?
Yes, Jason, you signed up for this.
I didn't know what I signed up for. I did it.
And I was like, he had to like rush and do
it. And then
homework
I watched him, and then I'm like, "What the fuck did I just sign up for, bro?" My wife comes in and goes, "Are you watching a cartoon?" And it's like, "No, it's a real movie."
So I like the I like the dream sequence where Freddy is torturing Jason. Jason, much like Michael Myers, tends to be a force of nature. There isn't much to him other than he's just a zombie. I like the fact that they reminded you that Jason used to be a person, and I like that what Freddy is good at. I mean, I think if you go back to Nightmare on Elm Street 1, don't want to talk about this for too long, but if you go back to the original Nightmare on Elm Street, what Freddy what works about Nightmare on Elm Street 1 is how effective they use psychological torture in that
movie. Yes.
Freddy isn't just a guy with knives that sticks people. First of all, he's a metaphor for childhood trauma and child abuse. But also,
and pedophilia.
Yeah, absolutely. He uses, you know, it's that element of using your worst fears against you, which amps up the horror element. And they really did pay respect to the lore of both characters, the lore in each of these movies, and how these characters operate in their movies. It's all there. So, like,
while
Freddy,
at the same time, ruining Kelly Rowland's career. Anyway. Continue.
I mean, what broad hasn't had their career ruined in Hollywood by a big picture? Carrie Fisher. Anyway. Rest in peace, princess. Anywho. So I wanted to talk about that really quick, just how effective I think Freddy was in this movie. And again, it kind of reaches its zenith with what he does to Jason, because it had been some time before we got to see Jason as that scared little boy again. I like the effective use of Jason's mom as a motivator. You know, it's like what would motivate him to start killing kids in this neighborhood. As far as the kills go, and maybe this is a negative criticism, then I'll kick it over to you, and then Neil and we'll be done here. This got a little too cartoony by half. Like, if one of these legs of the stool of a working horror movie is effective and gory and scary kills, this movie doesn't really have any. This is like cartoon. This is itchy and scratchy level cartoon violence. The things that are horrifying are some of the stuff Freddy does to the kids and Jason. The kills in and of themselves are awfully silly and not particularly effective. So I'll throw it over to you. What did you like, dislike, real quick? Or if you wanted to comment on anything I said, Jason.
Well, first and foremost, me and Jason Voorhees have something very much in common.
You're very tall?
No. Our moms are both dead.
Oh! I was gonna be like, you both look good. Hockey
don't let him play in your sympathies, Neil. He does this shit all the time.
So yeah, there's that. But yeah, I mean, I really wish, and you know, you guys said that you guys watched some of the Friday 13th. I really wish they would have had Jason do some of the more inventive kills that he is known for, like the sleeping bag beating. Yeah, like I think that's one of my favorite kills from just about any horror movie is when he just like literally beats somebody with that's inside a sleeping bag. He just beats them against a tree. Because I mean, it's just the brutality of it. I mean,
yeah, it's up there with the Hulk and Loki going back and forth.
Yeah,
I mean, it's nothing like. I mean, that's just something that you would actually could see, like somebody being out in the woods, somebody. You're in a sleep bag. Somebody grabs you, beats you against a tree. I mean, that's practical. You know, a big hawking guy beating you against a tree. I mean, could really happen. Or, you know, like they could have leaned into the more, innovative stuff. Like, you know, and it's like him using the machete more stuff, the dismemberment. And, you know, going more to the brutality that Jason is known for. And, you know, and draw back from the comedic side that Freddy turned into in the later movies.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they leaned into a little bit more of the psychological things that Freddy done.
Yeah.
I wish they got him closer
to his original presentation and less the wisecracky Freddy.
Yeah. I wish they would have leaned into that a little bit more, made him a little bit more menacing. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was menacing, but I wish they would have went a little bit darker with him and leaned into Jason's more brutal side.
Okay. Neil, same to you, and then we'll move on.
I have to agree with Jason there. It was really, and both of you actually have really good points. Like, when you have Jason just folding a guy up in a bed.
That's so great.
That's how he dies, and that's how he dies. But they took two of the main things away by trying to equal them out, and one was like the creepy mental games from Freddy Krueger or the stalker Jason. The thing about Jason's like he's a stalker. He's just like, you know,
I am not.
My God.
Well, I mean, that.
Those charges were dropped. Damn it.
You're still standing outside of my window. But anyway.
Quit flirting with each other.
But so anyway, the movie, I think, came together really great. And to be honest, if you're looking for an Oscar award winning movie out of Freddy versus Jason, I think you're the wrong audience for the movie anyway.
Like, you may be mildly retarded.
Yeah. It's like, hey, I went to the Fall Guy. This is definitely Oscar worthy. But it definitely is. It was a great movie. I really wish it wasn't the last one for Robert Englund, but you know, that's what we got. That was the last Freddy that we ever got from him. So I wouldn't mind seeing him again play Freddy, but now he's like, what, 142?
But that's not the last time we'll talk about him in the show.
No, Robert Englund is back in Lake Placid versus Anaconda. So Lake Placid, I think went 4 movies, and it's about a crocodile that enters the main ecosphere and starts biting people. And Betty White, is feeding.
Was not in it.
It was in the first.
She's time. Dead.
Betty White is feeding the crocodile. Do we need to stop and talk about what's going on with you in your world, Jason?
Do you need a hug, man?
I mean,
call Pookie in here. Call Kinsey. Let's have a conversation.
Hug is anyway. Man.
I mean, just think we're just like, I just want to relate to the, you know, Betty White and my mom both dead. You know, I just like to relate to things.
You're like a techno about. Song and hitting the same beat over and over and over again.
We beat dead horses around here.
We certainly do, Ollie. We certainly do, Ollie. Beat those dead horses. I haven't done that one in a while. Anyway, so you guys, crocodile, reminder of a dead husband. Oliver Platt's like trying to save the crocodiles. The rest of the town's trying to kill the crocodile. It's the whole thing. They produce 3 more of these movies, and it's literally, and Jason and I talked about it. It is literally the same premise every single time. Morons walk to it. except for the one with the guy from Eureka, where the crocodiles were doing home invasions.
I forgot about that one. Oh my God.
That is the best.
With the kid that was robbing the grocery store for meat, right.
Feed to the crocodiles. But the crocodiles were like, you know, they were dressed up as droogies. They, you know, they were coming in and they were murdering and raping the townspeople. It was a terrible thing.
They were cholos, had their top button.
That's right. All of it. Fucking insane clown crocodiles. Anyway, then you have Anaconda, which the first one is really long, slow burn thing where the monster isn't the anaconda. It's what's his face?
John Voight,
who's like a pirate, like tricking people into doing his bidding for him.
Ice Cube.
God, Ice Cube learned how to act after that, but boy, that movie. Oy. He's so bad.
That's Jenny from the Block.
Yeah, that was. Both Jennifer Lopez and Ice Cube would go on to actually act in movies, but you couldn't tell from Anaconda. Anyway, so yeah, the snake kills almost everybody, and then you're like, all right, well, that was a good fun horror movie. Watch giant snakes bite people, which it takes forever to get to the giant snakes, by the way, if I remember correctly. And then the next 3 movies is idiots go into the fucking jungle to try to steal these things and turn them into like xenomorph type weapons. And they're looking for the blood orchid and all that.
Yeah, the blood. Yeah, the special flower.
Yeah.
They want to deflower the snakes.
Mighty Morphin Snake Rangers.
So where Lake Placid versus Anaconda picks up real quick is they've got some anacondas, they've got a crocodile, and they're going to make monsters. Okay? They're going to merge DNA between crocodiles and anacondas for some reason.
Crossbreeding.
Yeah. And it goes
inbreeders.
Yeah, they're trying to make biological weapons essentially. It goes awry, as it often does. These things escape, and then the anacondas fuck off for the whole film.
Yeah, like
the Anacondas just decided we're no longer in this movie. They were too good. They were like on strike. They were arguing with their agents.
And then, yeah,
they said they said the CGI budget.
Hey, we're here again.
said we only got $100 for CGI. We got to fuck off of the movie.
So the crocodile spends 90% of the movie biting people. We spent a good long time with the ditziest sorority girls I've ever seen. And then, in a battle of wits with a crocodile and losing. And then with the last, we get Reba back.
Remember, what was that movie? Beach Blanket Bingo? Like, yeah. it hasn't been as that dumb as sorority college girls since then. And it was just
the only thing that was missing from this movie was Annette Funicello singing The Monkey's Uncle before she gets her head bitten off by a crocodile.
The bad thing about it is two of the sorority girls, one looked like she was 42 and holding down three kids at home. And the other one looked like she was a goth girl from like the early 80s.
Yeah, she's like, I'm Joan Jett's body double.
Yeah, like I was waiting for her to break out in Barracuda or something.
So anyway,
I just saw that on Saturday.
Nice. All right, yeah. So Reba's back from one of the other Lake Placid movies. She's gone from like poacher pirate to Fish and Wildlife, and now she's the town sheriff because that's how that works. And she's actually teaming up with me from Fish and Wildlife to try to deal with these crocodiles. Two-thirds of the movie passes, and then the anacondas show up. And now the anacondas are going after the crocodiles, but they're also going after the humans. And it's just an excuse to make things explode on screen. That's it. That's what the anacondas do. They eventually kill both anacondas. They kill the crocodiles. And then, you know, we think all is good in the world, but then there's a stinger at the end. The eggs hatch, and we see anacondas are trapped in them. So, yeah. I don't even want to say. Lake Placid versus Anaconda. Neil, what the fuck?
Did you know this is the fifth film in both series, too? In both series, this is the fifth film, the exact
Jason and I
one.
Are experts in these now. Long road to ruins on them.
Yeah, this is the culmination of cinema, the apex of these movies.
The best cinema thing about this movie is royalty. The best thing about this movie is the posters, by far.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was the credits.
Talking about the posters, I just read one of the facts, and one of the facts about this movie is that Bill Pullman mistakenly is on a Netflix poster art for the film when they originally put this out.
Really?
And he's like, take me off that shit.
Yes, Bill Pullman did not come back after the first Lake Placid.
I still wish we got John Snyder.
Okay, all right, ahead,
now look, I like good gore movies. I like a good horror movie. I like a good B cheesy movie. I just rewatched the Toxic Avenger series like 2 days ago.
Nice.
You know, like I love when it gets cheesy, gory, and stuff like that. But when people take the CGI instead of using like just cheap print, like if it was a rubber alligator and a rubber snake, I would have loved it 10 times better than an alligator whose feet aren't even on the ground and a snake who's like slithering in the middle of the air. That didn't make sense to me. Like that just took me way out of the reality of this. Like I was believing it until a snake is like, it's not even touching the grass. It's just like floating in the air. I literally watched this an hour ago.
Did you ever watch, and I might have said this on the actual Anaconda review, do you ever play Final Fantasy VII?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember, like, it's an early boss early on, and you have to defeat it with the chocobo. That fucking snake.
Yeah.
It's that level. It is PlayStation Final Fantasy VII level CGI.
It is just so bad. And the thing is, I always even still try to get into it and stuff like that. But the way it ended, it was just like, all right, you kind of. Why couldn't you, like, it just kind of ended. It was another, like, it was just like Freddy versus Jason, where it's just like, oh well, that's done for now. And we're all just gonna walk away.
Well, they killed the two. They killed the two anacondas that were running around. The two anacondas escaped from the first scene.
They actually did kill everything.
Yeah. Right, and they killed what they thought were whatever crocodiles were had gotten out.
You're right. You're right. They did kill everything. It was just kind of like.
Here's the problem. There's still that patch of baby crocodiles that we see in one scene and never see again. So either...
Not yet.
Well, I was like, they either killed all them too and they grew at like mutant levels, or they're still out there for Lake Placid versus Anaconda 2 to search for more money.
Hey, right now they could be teenage electric mutant crocodiles.
That's true.
They're being trained by a giant rat somewhere deep in the forest.
Well, this all takes place in Maine. Maybe they traveled down and then they ended up in Baltimore and they're currently dealing drugs for the Avon Barksdale family.
Oh my god.
At Jimmy's Seafood. Oh,
there you go.
At Jimmy's Famous Seafood.
That's right. All right, Jason. You're in this weird mood tonight. But we agreed to do this, so I'm going to make you talk about this movie semi-seriously. Lake Placid, Anaconda. What did you think?
This is right up our alley. This is right up there with our B-side movie reviews. Yeah. I mean, it's not high quality Zumbies, but you know,
hang on, I got to ask Neil. Have you seen the Zumbies movies?
No, but now I'm.
You need to.
You really do.
I'm going to take a look right now while you guys are talking.
Yeah. You need to see some of these stills from Zumbies.
Yeah, it's the greatest two movies you'll ever see in your lifetime.
Yeah, go ahead, Jason.
Actually, three movies. It's three. Yeah, this wasn't the worst in the series.
But it's better than the last two Anaconda ones. Those were fucking terrible.
Yeah, this was a little step up. Not much. I mean, it's very low bar to clear, but it had some redeeming qualities. Not much.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it is what it is. I mean, it's a B-side movie review. Me and you love the cheesy stuff. This is right up our alley. It was fun to just sit back, turn my brain off, and just laugh. You know, this, I put this up there with like Zombie Tidal Wave when we reviewed it. So it was fun.
So this clocks in at 92 minutes. It aired on the Sci-Fi Channel, believe it or not, April 25th, 2015. The reception, it says Tim Brain of Alternate Ending gave it 2 out of 5. Felix Vasquez of CinemaCraze.com. Despite low expectations, was not pleased by the film. He writes, for the most part, it succeeds in cheesy C-grade, so bad it's good horror, with a lot of irritating characters getting their just desserts. I just wish there was more splatter to the color of the film along the way. And, I mean, we're going to talk about this with the next movie, and there's definitely some that I've seen, I've watched with Jonas, and we just laugh our asses off at some of the kills. This didn't happen, and I think that's like my one major serious criticism of this movie, is... There's a couple of shots of the crocodile eating a girl whole, and that's always fun. Look, I can never get tired of watching women get eaten by crocodiles.
Never.
That never stops being old. However, you do have to, you know, variation is a slice of life. You have to have change. You have to do things differently. You can't do the same kill every single time. And so that got a little redundant after a while. I do enjoy Reba. I got a kick out of Reba in the Lake Placid series.
And the
actress is probably is you know not exactly you know an A-list actress, but I think she does well with the part, and she has some really funny lines with the deputy. Apparently, the deputy in this is also a moron, and there's a lot of running gags in this. Like, I like the fact that some of these sci-fi movies, they know what they're doing and they don't take themselves too seriously, and they're having fun with it, and the actors are having fun with it. Like, they know they're not making The Passion of the Christ. Like, they know what this is. And everyone kind of leans into almost to a parody level. and it works. I mean, it makes it a fun experience.
To jump on that really quick, literally like a parody, like listen to this. If you think about it, each movie had an officer that couldn't convince other people things were going down, or they had to help the main protagonist, or they had to be the guy that's the right side, to the point where I almost felt like I was watching parodies, because again, I watched all these movies within the last 24 hours, and I was just like, so wait a minute, there's another female cop helping him out while shit's going down? Okay, cool. I like this. Did they just take the script from the other thing and just add a couple things?
Yeah, like, change a few words, it'll be fine. Take the home invasions out. We don't need those. However, let's get crocodiles trying to open up a car door. That's fine.
That was funny.
If there's nothing else, I don't have anything else to really add. It's if you like stupid schlocky movies and you enjoy the Anaconda and Lake Placid series and you watch them like we did all the way to the end, it's a good culmination of the two idiot series. All right, speaking of idiot series, and again, I feel bad about this because Sharktopus vs. Werewolf, which aired on the Sci-Fi Network on July 19th, 2015. Is the third and final installment in the Sharktopus franchise, which starts with 2010's Sharktopus, and then Sharktopus versus Terracuda in 2014. And now I'm like, damn it! I missed an opportunity to do a Long Road to Ruin on this. This could have been like Friday and Porky's, like a very special Long Road to Ruin that Jason and I could do. I missed an opportunity here because I didn't do my research. But
it happens.
This was produced by Roger Corman, and that's a great place to actually start this discussion. I love Roger Corman movies, like the old Big Women in Prison, like The Big Birdcage, or Black Mama, White Mama, stuff like that, which I made Jason watch 2 years ago. I watched a lot more of like the sexploitation Roger Corman stuff than I did the schlocky horror stuff. But you, Neil, what's your connection there with the old Roger Corman?
Roger Corman?
Roger Corman.
I'm sorry, I was in the middle of researching the original Sharktopus, because I was like, who came up with the idea of even Sharktopus? Like, who thinks of an octopus next to the shark? Like, everything Vincent Price he's ever done, I mean, would be everything Roger Corman. I'm sorry, I went off of one thing anyway. Anything with Vincent Price that he did, like, I think he did, the Message of Red Death or something like that, I believe, with Vincent Price. He did Tales of Terror, if I remember correctly. Oh, The Raven. I think he did The Raven. Didn't he do The Raven?
I
love those classic old series. If I remember correctly, and I'm going to say this, and I don't want to be wrong, but didn't he make the first version of the Fantastic Four?
He did.
The crappy, like, I remember...
The only good one.
Yeah.
Shut your whore mouth.
So Roger Corman's a classic in horror. He's like a Wes Craven. He's like a George Romero. He's like a John Carpenter. He's one of the top names.
So the last movie that he directed and wrote that he's credited for is Vaughn, Rich Tolfinen, and Brown. He has an uncredited directing role in Death Sport, but he also wrote it. And then he directed Frankenstein Unbound in 1990. He has a just as long a producer-only credit. And here's some fun ones. He did, in 2017, he was the producer on Death Race 2050, Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader, which is fucking amazing, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader is fucking awesome. Here's one for you, Jason. Super Gator. It's a 2007 horror film.
Chopping Mall.
I remember Chopping Mall.
Dino Croc. Carnosaur. The Fantastic Four.
Slumber Party Massacre. Oh, my God. I didn't know he did that. Wow.
Suburbia. Amazons. Galaxy of Terror. Smokey Bites the Dust. That's amazing. The arena, that's one I'm familiar with. Again, another one of those like women's exploitation type movies. Rock and Roll High School, Piranha.
I remember Piranha.
He did the original Fast and the Furious. Did you know that, Jason? The 1954 American crime drama starring John Ireland and Dorothy Malone. Did you know he was a producer on the Fast and the Furious?
I wonder if it was family.
It absolutely was family. All right. So the story goes like this. As much as there can be a story to fucking Sharktopus.
There's no story.
So there's a Sharktopus, okay, which is a shark with an octopus tail, okay? And there's a crazy mad scientist, again, doing genetic experimentations, and she takes whale genes and wolf genes, and she makes a whale wolf, but she injects it into a human, and he becomes the whale wolf. And they both
that looks
around,
like Scrappy Doo.
Yeah. It looks like from the Scooby-Doo movie done by
The original James Gunn. The original Scooby-Doo movie. What was it? Mystery Island?
Oh, Monsters Unleashed, wasn't it?
Monsters Unleashed, which we actually did it on trial for, if I remember correctly. So anyway, so this is 90 minutes of my life I want back. Oh, so 85 minutes, even worse. This thing felt like it was 5 hours. Like, I watch this with my kids, and they had to walk out about 2/3 of the way through. Like, this is fucking boring. When you have a movie called Sharktopus versus Whale Wolf, and you can't keep the attention of a 10, a 12, and a 13-year-old, you're done fucked up. So there's a lot of just... Jason, do you remember when we did those three, like, B-horror movies, I think, for Shark Week last year? And we were like, oh my God, Sharks of the Corn is the longest movie ever. It was like 80 minutes, God. But it was interminable.
Yeah, it was 80 minutes that felt like 3 days.
Yeah, that was kind of this. Like, I kept nodding off during this. I'm like, I can't believe this movie is still going on. I'm pretty sure it went the entire length of Backlash from France. This thing went on forever.
Yeah, I think I took a nap and I woke up and it was still on.
So, yeah, there's a lot of... Like the Sharktopus kills some people, and some really that's like the best part is when the Sharktopus kills people. Then,
the best part, and you're just going with it. It's a guy from Starship Troopers got a job, and that's Casper all Van that Dien, matters. Casper Van Dien got a job, and that's what matters in this.
No, movie. The best part was the really hot nurse walking in, and she says something, and the mad scientist goes. He's been waiting to eat you all morning. That was
I totally forgot that. He wants to know what a brunette tastes like.
So, much like the other two movies, this is all, we're just waiting for the two beasts to fight each other, and they finally do. And I'll tell you, it's like you've been waiting all night to have sex with somebody, and it lasts like 2 minutes, and it's really like unsatisfying. You're like, that's it?
20 seconds. Let's go 20
seconds. Have you been watching me through my cameras, Mark?
Yes. Lord. Every single night. Anyway, I can't quit you, Jason Teasley. Anyway, like you waited all fucking movie for the Sharktopus to fight the whale wolf. And it's awesome when it happens, and then just as quickly, it's over. Everyone's sticky and goes home.
No. You want me? To... I compare this, Mark. You remember, I can't remember what it was, the movie it was. It was the creepy girl that jumped in the pool.
Right.
And had the little, like, plastic shark.
Mm.
And she was going around God. The girl.
Was that Ghost Shark?
Ghost Shark. I think it was Ghost Shark.
And she's just, like, creeping around the girl. And you were like, what the fuck is she doing? That's what this reminded me of. The end of this movie reminded me of, and it's like, what the fuck?
So this has like who framed Roger Rabbit like animation CGI. Like when they finally make the Sharktopus fight the whale wolf, I swear to God, I heard someone go, Zaddy! And it was like two cartoon characters having a fight. It was so bad. And it's like, all right, this is what they like. We were cheering. My kids and I were fucking cheering.
Are they not going to make better things on, like, Mario Paint? it was not
MS Paint. MS Paint, maybe.
Fucking Photoshop the movie. All right, I'm going to just shut up because that's really all I have to say is, like, you built up this epic fight between a werewolf and a sharktopus, gave me 20 seconds, and then it was over. Boo! And then there's so... This
it didn't even seem like they were building up to the fight. Like, it was just like, it was two different movies.
Right.
And all of a sudden they're like, oh, I guess we got to figure out how we're going to bring these two together.
It kind of felt like two movies that they edited together. And then they were like, make them fight, I guess.
I guess.
They fought twice because...
Stadium. Put them in a baseball stadium because that's, you know, where two sea creatures would go to fight.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, what the fuck?
I mean, don't get me wrong. That sharktopus fucking fucks up people on land, too. You know, no
Let's
doubt.
Figure out who's the best between the Lakers and the Chicago Bears and make them play baseball. You know, it's
perfect. Like... Go ahead, Jason. And then we gotta finish up.
No, I'm just saying they fought twice. They fought once because old girl fell into the water,
mm-hmm.
and she's dead. And the werewolf is standing on the pier just looking at him. Then just jumps in and hits the sharktopus away, and he swims away. And then both of them vanish. And then they fight at the end, and you're like, okay, the point of this was. And then the best part of this movie is the poster, and that's it. I mean. The poster and the credits, the two best things about this movie. When the movie ends and the poster.
All right. Neil, I'm going to give you the final word here, and then we're going to wrap up.
The thing is about this, there was one or two good parts in the movie, and the only reason was because they actually used practical effects, which was kind of cool. There were one or two places like that. But then in the same scene, they're using the crappy CGI, so it just deletes all the freaking practical
effects. Cancels it right out.
And that's pretty much the entire movie. Right when you think something fun might actually occur or a kill might happen that's going to be fun, they kind of go the easy way out on each one of them. If they would have just had more fun with the kill, like I would have loved to see like five people killed on all the tentacles, like hanging out, you know, something like that. But this movie just got to the point
where he's in the cave and like shakes hands with the sharktopus, like legit. The sharktopus like touches his tentacles and like he's got like the thing that controls it or whatever, like the wooden fish thing.
Yeah, the Odom or whatever.
Right, and they're just like eat fucking tea. Like eh, so bad.
They fist bump.
And why does the sharktopus have painted goth nails? That's my other question.
Sharktopus
don't have claws.
I'd rather rewatch Geely than watch this again.
Ooh. Yeah.
At least there, everything that's fake, you can tell. Anyway, but yeah, it wasn't even that fun. Like, I like a good corny movie, like Lake Placid versus Anaconda. Anaconda was better, but this one just kind of just. Man, even the blood splatter in this one was so bad. I was just like, why couldn't you just use a bucket of corn syrup? Just use a bucket of corn syrup.
All right. Well, folks, we had fun this hour. Sometimes you just get together with your friends and hoot and holler about silly movies. So that's what we did here. Neil, you do a podcast with Chris Owen, who's actually going to be with us in 2 weeks to do Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. I was just on your show, speaking of goofy movies, talking Monkey Man and Boy Kills World and Challengers, where I was promised a threesome and didn't get a threesome. I didn't even see
that
movie.
That was not my fault. I'm sorry.
Anyway, so tell them where they can find your podcast, buddy.
If you want to find our podcast, you can go to facebook.com/moviesdontsuckpodcast, or you can go to Instagram or X at MTD Podcast. You can also look at us on Twitch, which is twitch.tv/MTS Podcast, or you can order any of our gear at bonfire.com/MTDS Podcast as well.
I'm going to make my own t-shirt, and one of them is going to say, once again, I was promised a threesome I didn't get.
I'll make it for you tonight. Perfect. I'm bored.
Perfect. Jason, I don't even know when you're back, Jason. Are you coming back for any Damn You Hollywoods anytime soon?
The 28th. I'm coming back.
For Furiosa, that's right.
Furiosa. Yeah. Then I'm gone till I don't come back till July 1st.
Which one's July 1st? What are you doing in July?
Quiet Place.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Quiet Place Day 1. All right. We'll figure out some more stuff to get you. I'm only trying to go like twice a week now, so it's hard to get everybody in there, but I can move some stuff around. Next time you have a bee in your bonnet or something that you want to do. As for me, myself and Robert Winfried discussed The Fall Guy last night on Damn You Hollywood. We also discussed, was there a better option than The Fall Guy to kick off the summer? I'll give you a hint as into what happened on our podcast. There isn't. Like, the best we could come up with was maybe move Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes up a week and push The Fall Guy back. But other than that, we looked at the calendar and went, wow, there is, with the exception of the obvious choice of Deadpool versus Wolverine, not a single fucking movie this year would have been the kind of Marvel-esque movie to kick off the summer blockbuster season. It was quite illuminating. We also deconstruct. Go ahead, Neil.
I was going to say, it's also because, like, how many movie theaters have backed down on doing big movies since of how much they've lost in the last couple of years. I was actually doing a news segment earlier where at least three different studios are now all cutting back their major in-theater blockbusters. Yeah.
They can't afford to continue to make, you know, one bomb after another. At some point, you just run out of money. Next week, so I'm going to Rockville this weekend. Rockville!
And I got a lot of friends. Everybody I went to WrestleMania with is actually going to that.
Cool. I'm going to ask everybody I meet if they know Neil. Not your last name, by the way. Just Neil. you know Neil. So tomorrow, speaking of kneeling, Alexis Haina
and Bob
will be doing a TV party for Shogun. She'll have Robert Winfrey and David Wright on. And then she'll be doing a double shot on Thursday. Her and Zachary Strobel, good to his mother. He's a good boy. They'll be looking at the Knuckles series. I'm back on Monday. Myself and Ronnie Adams will be talking all things Star Wars. I'm going to make Ronnie cry. And then on Tuesday, it's the Metal Hammer of Doom Jukebox. We're going to be looking at Unleash the Archers, Phantoma, and whatever else Jesse wants to talk about. And then next Thursday, it was supposed to be 2 weeks ago, but Sean had a family emergency. So we're kicking off our Pride Month stuff with The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, and Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Folks, this was a lot of fun. I want to thank Neil for hanging out with me for an hour. And I'll have to figure out. I was harassing Chris earlier today. I said, hey, when you guys talk, I saw the TV glow. I have to come on and talk about it with you. He was like, calm the fuck down. We don't even know if we're doing that one. Like, no, you have to.
I know. I got to do that one. Yes.
You got
yes,
it. And I have to be on. Yeah. I have to.
I got you on that one.
All right, cool.
I'll make a note right now.
Perfect. All right, thank you for joining us here on Triple Feature. For the Protocol Son, Jason Teasley, for the Razor Ramon to my Kevin Nash of the NWO, Neil Blackwood, well, be safe and behave.